This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Candy Messinger is a health educator for WVU Cabell County Extension Service. She teaches a nutrition and cooking basics class for those going through the Cabell County Drug Courts program. Carol Lofton spoke with Messinger about why alternative education and life skills training is an important piece of recovery.
Why is it important to teach people in recovery nutrition and cooking skills?
Well, first of all, they are abusing the substance. They do not really think about their nutrition and certain substance that they are addicted to. They don't have any appetite, so they do not eat. And some of them do not have any life skills of cooking, and some of them do have kids. So when they get arrested and get in drug court, sometimes they lose their children. So they really want to improve their cooking skills and nutrition. So when they do get their children back, they can feed them well and feed themselves well.
So walk me through when you first start meeting with a class. What do they learn and how do you gain the trust of those in the class?
They come in, it's low key. I tell them about the classes that I teach. And like one-on-one, we kind of go around and tell about themselves. And they usually tell me it's their class. I tell them it's their class. If they want to take time out and talk about something, we do. Mostly about nutrition, but if they want to talk about other things, we take time to do so. And then we do a lesson, and then we get hands-on cooking.
Why is it important to start teaching people life skills around food?
Well, because it's always about food. Every time we get together, it seems like we are gathered around food. Family get-togethers, church gatherings, anything. So I use the USDA MyPlate. So that's where I usually teach all my lessons from. And fruits and vegetables, whole grains, dairy, and protein is great for us. And lots of people aren't doing that. They are getting lots of processed food. So I try to teach them what they should be getting and how much they are getting, and we do a recipe with it.
Food is often the center of social gatherings. So how much of the classes that you're teaching are teaching people nutrition and how to cook, and how much of it is giving them a new support system of people who are also in the same journey that they are in?
Well, we teach basic nutrition, but we give them recipes. So lots of people are using the recipes when they are going to these gatherings. They're making things and sharing it with everybody at these gatherings, the nutritional value. I met two of the daughters of one of my participants, and they were raving over a strawberry parfait that their mother made them. So they can also pass that down to the individuals in gatherings also.
Do you feel like people who participate in the program come out with friends and support system from other participants?
Yes. Well, while they are in drug court, it's like a class. They all stick together. So it's like a 12-step program, and they are in a group, and they do everything kind of together. So they all become friends, and all the support system that they can get, either even just from me. I love teaching these classes, but I also love being a support system to them. I recently went to one of their graduation programs that five of them graduated. They are completely clean. They've gotten their job. They've gotten a vehicle, and they've got a home and their children back. So I'm very, very proud of them.
When you are soliciting feedback from participants, what do you hear from them that they didn't know at the beginning of class that they come away from at the end?
Actually, the most important thing is how much they are supposed to eat, what the portion sizes are, and about sugary drinks. Lots of them like the Monsters and such, the energy drinks, and they are loaded with sugar. And they were really fascinated with how much sugar that all these Pops and Monsters and had. And they were really concerned and really surprised.
What do you get out of teaching this class?
I love my class. At first, when I first started, I thought I am not ever going to be able to teach a class because I would get so nervous just getting up, making an announcement somewhere. But the more I got into it, the more I seen that people were interested in their nutrition, the more research I'm done, the more feedback I get from them, positive feedback, it's rewarding. And I also have learned a lot through my classes. I didn't even really know how much sugar that you were supposed to have or how much sugar was in sugary drinks or how much we were supposed to eat. So I've actually improved my health also.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine. This week, we're hearing a series of stories about a community in Fayette County where residents are worried about a chemical called PCB that may be causing people to get sick. Although health officials haven't backed up this claim, many fear that they could get cancer due to this environmental contaminant. This morning, we'll hear how one young boy in Minden, West Virginia, is processing his community's story. And Roxy Todd speaks with one educator about how we can teach children about environmental issues without overwhelming them too early.
It's a whole different community than what I grew up in. It's really sad because it used to be a nice little community to live in, but it's not anymore. It's horrible.
This is Annetta Kaufman, who we heard from in an earlier story. Her mother, who also lived in Minden, died of cancer. That's what prompted Kaufman to hang one of the plastic yellow signs in her front yard that reads, PCBs kill communities.
I know a lot of our older residents don't like the signs. I mean, they know that, you know, it's reality, but it depresses them because they, you know, we've had a lot of our elderly residents say when we asked them about relocation, we went around door to door and asked, you know, people, if we were relocated, would you leave? And a lot of the elderly residents said, I would love to leave, but I've been here for so long, I might as well just die here. And that's how they feel. They're like, all my family died here, I might as well just die too. That's how they feel.
But there's a slightly different story here as I talk with some of the young people who live in Minden. In Kaufman's living room, I meet her nephew, Branson England. He's a smart kid, 12 years old, and he pulls up a video game world he built. They put their dog outside, and you can hear him whining in the background.
My game that I made and about Minden, how I view it, and how most of the kids down here view it.
Branson used a program, like Minecraft, to build a virtual version of his home. On his television, he shows me a bright, sunny landscape with well-kept yards and fancy-looking mansions. This is the world of nearby Oak Hill and Charleston, where the rich people live.
Mainly what this is, okay, so right here, well, you can't really see it, but right here, it's, like, really big and nice and expensive. And, you know, just really a lot of joy and hope is over here. And on the other side of the town, there is really, like, it's kind of, like, blocked off, as you can see over there.
Then he shows me the neighborhood that's modeled after Minden.
And here are coffins of everybody, like, or people that have died and that are alive, because we all live in coffins, pretty much.
Barrels of what looks like toxic chemicals line up along the river beside the coffins.
There used to not be this many coffins, but as you can tell, there's been a lot of deaths since I first made this.
Do you ever worry that you're not getting the chance that other kids do to be a kid?
I have to worry about if I'm gonna go to the doctor tomorrow and them tell me I have some kind of disease and they don't know of. I mean, it's just really sad. I mean, I'm 12 years old. I'm not supposed to be dealing with this. I'm supposed to be at home doing my homework playing video games, but other than that, I have to worry about if I'm going to die tomorrow. So.
Branson also told me that sometimes he does have nightmares about getting cancer or someone in his family being diagnosed. As I sit listening to Branson, I can't help but wonder, is all this worry doing more harm than good? I wanted to bounce this off someone who has experience teaching environmental issues to children, so I called up Dr. Sarah States in Pittsburgh.
I'm the Director of Research and Science Education at Phipps Conservatory and Botanical Gardens.
Phipps Conservatory is located in the Oakland neighborhood of Pittsburgh. It's a giant garden, actually 23 different gardens, sort of like a museum of plants, flowers, and butterflies. You see kids, young, some older. How do you approach introducing them to the joys of nature and then also educating them about some potentially dangerous things in our environment or things that, you know, might be concerning to kids?
So Phipps takes an approach to environmental education that follows that of David Sobel of Antioch University, who talks a lot about, and his work revolves around the developmentally appropriate environmental education. Because kids at different age levels, they have different cognitive abilities and psychological needs. So with young children in particular, we focus by building empathy and caring for nature and what's close to them, be it worms or insects or chipmunks. But as kids grow, they start to explore more. They want to move beyond their homes and their backyards. So there's an opportunity to talk about other environmental issues. And as kids get older than that, you know, ages 12 to 14, that's when they're more able to take on the complexities of environmental issues and can talk more about social action and engagement within their community.
If the issue is right there in their community and it also ties in, you know, it's not just the birds and the fish, but the concerns kind of end up being about their own health and well-being. How would you recommend for teachers or for parents to best approach that for that age group?
Well, that's a real challenge because they have a right to be concerned about their local environment. And it's good that they're aware and interested of environmental issues. But we also have to be careful about how we approach these complex environmental issues because there's a chance that children may be taking on more than they can handle. With children, we have the risk of developing ecophobia if we're asking children to deal prematurely with these issues that are beyond their understanding or control.
And ecophobia how do you define that? Just sort of a fear of the environment, basically?
Just a fear of nature or a fear of environmental issues. Today's world, we have technology that can bring us in close contact with ecosystems and habitats all over the world. And I think there's a lot of power to that. We have access to all this fantastic information. But at the same time, we also risk bringing these global environmental concerns to the forefront before children are ready to handle them. With younger children, we try to have them focus on the hardwood forests of Pennsylvania before they take on the tropical rainforests of South America, because we want them to enjoy and connect to their own homes, their nature.
What I'm hearing is that actually getting involved in issues that directly affect your local communities, whether it's West Virginia or Appalachia, for young kids, it might be a little bit of an easier way to get, you know, start thinking about the issues around them rather than taking on these global issues like climate change and deforestation and other continents.
Yes, partially. What I would say is we should get kids to be committed and care about their local environments. But also we have to recognize that young children just may not be developmentally ready to deal with environmental pollution or contamination, because these can be scary topics that are threatening their homes. So with younger kids, we just want them to go out and explore and have a fascination for nature without, once they're committed to their environment, they have the opportunity to ask questions as they get older and potentially take action. But we need to recognize that we don't want to put the weight of all this environmental concern on children at too young of an age.
And what about the benefits of including young adults, young people in local issues that affect their local environment?
Well, if they're older and they are able to better understand the complexities within environmental issues, you know, as they start to get older into their teens, I think that young people are incredibly impressive and they can be outspoken, really committed activists. I think we are seeing that with a lot of young people taking on serious national issues today. So I think they can do a lot to change the world. They may see that adults are not taking the actions that are needed, so they can be a really strong voice for change.
That was Sarah States speaking with Roxy Todd. To hear more from this episode, go to our website, wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content.